Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we talk about protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in these uncertain times. We have a great interview for you today, and we will be back with that in less than 60 seconds on the Holistic Survival Show. And by the way, be sure to visit our website at holisticsurvival.com. You can subscribe to our blog, which is totally free, has loads of great information, and there's just a lot of good content for you on the site. So make sure you take advantage of that at holisticsurvival.com. We'll be right back. It's my pleasure to welcome Sean Stone to the show. If you think that name is familiar, that is Oliver Stone's son, and he's been working on some great things, including Buzzsaw, which is a weekly talk show hosted by Tyrell Ventura, and he's just got a lot of interesting stuff that he's working on, and it's great to have him here today. He grew up in the film world, of course, and has acted since childhood in Oliver Stone's films, including The Doors, JFK, Natural Born Killers, and many others. And it's great to have him here joining us today. Sean, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. Are you located in Los Angeles?
Yeah. I'm between LA and New York.
Fantastic. Well, it's great to have you on the show. Tell us what you've been working on. Buzzsaw is pretty intriguing.
Indeed, yeah. Buzzsaw is a spinoff from Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura. I came on board the last season as a co-host with Tyrell, who's Jesse's son. And Tyrell and I became pretty much the two lead conspiracy hosts because Jesse wasn't able to travel thanks to his TSA lawsuit that was ongoing. So we were kind of like, you know, in the field doing a lot of the interviews and whatnot. And unfortunately, that show, Conspiracy Theory, came to an end. True TV decided not to extend the, basically extend it beyond a three-year lease, you want to call it. And so, you know, as that show came to an end, Tyrell and I were approached by a friend of ours over at the Lip TV. You know, we started discussing possible show, you know, something that we could do as a show in studio, and we decided on Buzzsaw because it takes on that kind of tonality of Conspiracy Theory, which is part of it. The first hour roughly is Tyrell and his co-host Tabitha Wallace, who go through news of the week, the alternative news that maybe, you know, you haven't picked up from the mainstream media, and they give their slant on it, on those news topics. And then the second hour is generally myself and Tyrell interviewing somebody in a more conspiratorial bend, let's say, and giving a different perspective on reality, whether it's the news of the week or bigger issues. So we've dealt with, we've interviewed people like Daniel Ellsberg about Bradley Manning's trial, or Jeremy Scahill about his documentary Dirty Wars, or Karen Hughes about corruption inside of the World Bank system, or, you know, and then we've gone to like the esoteric and interviewed Freemasons and people from, like, you know, from the UFO community. So we really like to touch upon a lot of, you know, different topics and keep surprising the guests. You know, most recently we had a Professor Griff on from Public Enemy talking about the Illuminati. So we've got a lot of, you know, cool topics and guests that we bring on. And the idea is to just, you know, have that dialogue in a more timely way than even we could do on Conspiracy Theory, because those shows were scripted and, you know, prepared in advance, and they had much more management of content, whereas we can pretty much just do it ourselves, and there's less censorship in that sense, just us being able to improvise and ask guests the questions we want to ask them and discuss for a longer period of time. You can have a 30-minute conversation, which gets into much more detail than you can on a show like Conspiracy Theory, when you're trying to entertain people and touch upon big issues within, like, you know, 15 seconds, 20-second hits. So it's tough.
Everything cannot be boiled down to a soundbite, can it, Sean?
Yeah, and exactly. I mean, having, you know, I like that about The Lip. You know, The Lip is the network that broadcasts Buzzsaw, And, you know, the idea is the lip is about talking. Let's talk about it. They want longer segments, 30 minutes to an hour long piece of discussion like you used to have on PBS, right? You used to have these conversations. And now the news has been boiled down to topics of as you said, sound bites. You know, I was on Bill O'Reilly and it's like literally it's just the pressure is on you. You get 5 minutes or less and the guy's just basically throwing question after question. It's very difficult to have a sane debate or discussion in that context.
Well, that's a really interesting thing about the new media. It really allows for, you know, much deeper thought. At the same time, when we have all this information hitting us, I think people are so distracted, and television has been called the idiot's medium because it's so quick. It's just not in depth enough. And you can really go deep on these subjects, can't you?
Infinitely deep. I mean, my whole life has been investigating history and the nature of reality, the esoteric aspects of it. I mean, I'm, you know, these are just topics. These are subjects that fascinate me, and I think that's why, you know, maybe people like to do, you know, people like to tell stories in film, TV shows. You know, they're trying to basically get at questions that are of a deeper nature, and then leave the audience questioning and wanting to know more. And in some senses, I feel like there's more reality to a good drama in that sense than to a lot of news shows and things that are presenting the world to you. This is the way reality is on the news. But I think that in a sense you actually learn more about reality from a good film, from a good dramatic narrative or a tragedy or a good comedy. You know, it gives you a philosophical message or a spiritual message, which can be a much deeper resonance.
Right. Yeah, I definitely agree. You know, I want to talk about some of your guests and topics that you've covered in more depth. But before we do that, Sean, I'd like to ask you your thoughts on conspiracies in general or conspiracy theories in general, and how the mainstream media has always marginalized those who talk about conspiracy theories as if, I mean, I just think it's really ridiculous. You know, I had a guest on one of my shows recently who was talking about some quote conspiracy theories unquote, and he kept like apologizing for it, saying, well, you know, I don't want to get all tinfoil hat on you. And I said, stop apologizing for this. There are conspiracies all around us. I mean, it's just two people hatching a plan. The United States was a conspiracy. You know,
yeah.
I mean, what's
yeah.
the big deal? Why is that so marginalized? It's so ridiculous. You start talking about the JFK assassination. Oh God, you know, you don't want to be one of those weirdo conspiracy theorists, those out there people. Yeah, I mean, don't you think this is really, this needs to change?
The nature of, in fact, I was reading something recently that talked about how the post-Kennedy assassination, the word conspiracy theory started cropping up constantly in the mainstream media. And before then, it was a kind of word that was very rarely referenced in mainstream thought. And then as after post 64, you know, conspiracy starts cropping up as a word more and more. You know, what's the question exactly as far as like what, you know, why is it marginalized?
Well,
what's the question?
You know, I'm the king of the compound question, so I apologize. But I guess, don't you think it's ridiculous? I mean, maybe the use of this conspiracy theory phrase, as though it's some derogatory term, needs to go the way of the N-word. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's like, you can't talk about anything anymore without someone trying to marginalize someone that has a conspiracy theory. And a lot of these conspiracies are true.
Mm-hmm. I, honestly, my attitude about it is that, you know, I say I'm a conspiracy theorist. I don't have a problem with it. I feel that there has been a shift, actually.
And I agree.
Know, even in our lifetimes.
It's getting better.
Where, yeah, I mean, it went from being, you know, the idea of conspiracy was relegated to like News of the World type of lampoon, like newspapers that only lampooned reality, right? And then it like moved from that to then more and more like groups coming, trying to spread the message, trying to put out literature. It was harder to find. I mean, the irony, of course, is that you get things like Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope, which is written in the 60s, I believe. And that is a historical book, text written by, you know, a Georgetown professor who's a Rhodes Scholar, who may not have been a Rhodes Scholar, but he was a tremendously respected figure, but he trains Bill Clinton, amongst others. And Quigley's writing about the conspiracy of the British Empire to preserve themselves, the Commonwealth. I mean, he's talking about conspiracies in his history very openly, right? So it's like there was, in a certain sense, there was always like the acceptable form of talking about conspiracy without using that word necessarily. And then there was the tinfoil hat group, as you're saying, who were talking about aliens and talking about different dimensions, and that was all sci-fi radical nonsense. And over time, these two groups, I think, are starting to come together to the point now where you're in this time period when you can do shows like Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura, or have a film like Mel Gibson's Conspiracy Theory, that in a sense normalize the notion of conspiracy yeah. theories. And at the same time, you can have people who are more openly saying, look, I'm a, like a Richard Dolan, you know, who's fundamentally a professor, who's an educated person, able to take on things like, you know, the UFO phenomenon. You know, that's what we also talked about in Buzzsaw, was the Citizens Hearing on Disclosure, right, which was sponsored by Edgar Mitchell, who's a former astronaut. And here's like 40 witnesses testifying to their encounters with UFOs, and these people are coming from the military, from, you know, they're sane, rational people who are not just, you know, some tinfoil hat types talking about the UFO phenomenon. So I feel like you've come from different levels of looking at conspiracy, and now you're coming to that point when someone can be a scholar, a researcher, and also have theories about UFOs, right, and other dimensions, because it's the nature, I mean, it's the nature of reality. The point is that when you have physicists and scientists who are saying there's the mainstream notion of it, just like health, right? There's like, you know, the doctors and the scientists who are saying this is the mainstream version of reality, relativity theory based on Newtonian physics, you know, and that leads to the idea of the body, which is, you know, compartmentalized and, you know, it's under attack from viruses. And then you start to get to the more holistic version of reality, which is saying that there's other dimensions that are affecting us, that, you know, we are in contact with other entities, provably so, that we have psychic abilities that we're not even fully cognizant of understanding. You know, the brain power is just tremendous. Quantum physics is real. You know, this is a subjective universe. The body is, you know, a holistic energy body that's a standing wave that's being influenced by other dimensions. I mean, it's like this changes. If you can get to this holistic level of viewing things, this changes everything. And I think that's more and more becoming normalized, in a sense. There are more professors, there are more scholars, there are more, you know, intelligent, intellectual people and they're recognizing each other thanks to the internet, thanks to, you know, this highway of information that allows us not only to learn, but also to recognize that we're not alone in our thoughts, that, you know, when we're having, you know, ideas that might be counterintuitive or counter to the establishment, you know, we're not alone in thinking that. There's many more people out there than you're allowed to realize, and the mainstream media is not actually really necessarily in touch with what most people really feel inside or what most people are thinking.
Yeah, I mean, the mainstream media covers so few stories, and whenever there's a big story, it's all they cover, that it's just ridiculous that you don't hear about the rest of the news. So that's a good point. Well, talk a little bit about some of the more interesting things that you've covered on Buzzsaw. I mean, take it wherever you want, like whatever kind of story, it doesn't matter, just anything that's interesting. Maybe you're working on it now, or it's something you worked on recently.
Yeah, I mean, on Buzzsaw, it's nice because we get to, you know, to do interviews with people that, you know, in a sense, you know, you respect their work, or, you know, you're curious to hear their thoughts, and you can ask the questions that as an audience, let's say, or someone is, you know, you're reading books and you always want to go deeper and learn more. So there's not like there's any one particular Buzzsaw episode that stands out. I think that we've done some interesting work. I mentioned the Citizens Hearing on Disclosure, covering that conference that took place in April, that Steve Bassett was pretty much in charge of working of creating, with Edgar Mitchell sponsoring it, and they got a bunch of, you know, great speakers and participants to do this mock congressional panel inquiry on the UFO phenomenon. And, you know, they're putting together the documentary series thereafter. But the fact that they achieved this, you know, this panel, and they were even mentioned in the mainstream media. I mean, the point was that the mainstream media had to mention the fact that this was going on, because there were former congressmen who were, you know, who were overseeing this inquiry. And that's where Paul Hellyer's testimony came out, when he said that, you know, as a Canadian former minister of defense, you know, he was saying that the UFO phenomenon was real and that there really are aliens here. I mean, it's pretty wild. There was some wild stuff that came out of that. So I was glad to have Steve Bassett on to talk about the conference. I mean, we've dealt with things like some people who are like high level Freemasons talking about the spiritual trap that they see, like this earth is like it's a trap for souls, basically. And, you know, we've gotten into some very esoteric issues, the reptilian idea, the idea that there are reptilian aliens who've in a spirit, at least in another dimensional sense, extra dimensional sense, have been controlling and manipulating this planet energetically for a long time.
See, this kind of stuff is where it gets too far out for me.
You know? Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm certainly open to the possibility that there's other life and maybe we've been visited and all that kind of stuff, but I just don't know what to do with that thought process. No one has really produced anything very tangible in all these years since Project Blue Book, which I think was in the 50s. Didn't that start in the 50s? And, you know, it seems like there used to be all these sightings, and now you almost never hear of a sighting. And everybody's got a camera in their phone. So I'm thinking...
I think it's quite the opposite.
Oh, really? Okay, well, enlighten me, please.
Oh, no, I mean, just the interesting thing about the sightings to me is it's like you go to YouTube, and I guarantee you'll see some really interesting videos of craft that have been sighted in space. I mean, I've seen probably two or three UFOs, and I've in Los Angeles, you know, and I'm someone who has believed for a long time, but you know, out of the strangest occasions, you know, I've either seen ships all of a sudden fly, you know, just strange lights in the sky, ships flying over. The UFO thing to me is so proven at this point that it's not so much a question of whether or not they're existing. It's a question of when you see a UFO, where is it coming from? Because I believe that obviously there's a black projects that that's very advanced military intelligence operations, and some of these craft belong to them. But then I think there's also this question of the interdimensional beings. And I got into this stuff because I was studying a lot of esoteric literature going back to, frankly, I mean, it was like I started getting into David Icke and people like that, trying to understand the esoteric roots of Masonry and the Templar Knights, and trying to understand like what is this tradition, right, that talks about not just the spiritual, not just the metaphysical, but other dimensions of consciousness and reality. And I started, frankly, I never had a magical experience or an out-of-body experience or anything like that until I started breaking into these mental hospitals and 2009, and I was breaking into like these abandoned mental hospitals that were notoriously haunted places, uh-huh, and gathering points for black magic rituals and Satanists and whatnot. And we started, my friend and I, who co-wrote Greystone Park, my film that we ended up making, we experienced all these strange supernatural phenomena, and at that point, when you start to experience it, you start to see that there is another dimension of reality, that the spiritual practices of the religions points to, these beings, these alien entities, demons, jinns, they're called in Islam. And, there is a reality to that, but it's not in a three-dimensional form of understanding. There are other dimensions that we're interacting with, and it's a question of in a sense allowing your pineal gland, the third eye, to open, to actually start to see it and to start to see that influence. Because I always say that the material physical existence we see is affected by the spiritual existence, what we call spiritual, which is just another form of, it's just a more advanced science in a sense. It's like, was Arthur C. Clarke who said that what people call magic is just science, a very advanced science that they can't comprehend. And I think that's really what's going on, is that we're at that point now of starting to realize that these people who've been coming out whistleblowing for so many years, talking about time travel, talking about aliens, talking about underground bases, that there is a reality to it. And the military has been interacting, but they're dealing with such an advanced form of technology that to most people it would be alien or it would be magic. And yet we know that we've been here before. I mean, that's one thing I can tell you from military intelligence guys will tell you, that we'll say that humans have been on this planet for much, much longer than the Darwinists would want you to believe. And we've been around for multiple cycles, and we've had rises and falls of the population, and we've been sunk in a sense, not sunk literally, but just, over time, whether it was nuclear war or or tumultuous climate change and whatnot. But, you know, those civilizations have risen and fallen so many times that you really start to wonder if Earth itself is not some kind of tremendous experiment, you know, of aliens. And in that case, how would you know it? You know, if you were a rat in a maze, how would you know that you were just an experiment, you see? And that's the problem, is that we're dealing with human consciousness. And when you start to go beyond that, you start to see things, interact with things that we call supernatural, paranormal. But I guarantee you, almost everyone, if not everyone, has had something paranormal happen in their lives if you ask them about it on a personal level.
Oh,
and
sure.
They won't admit it publicly, but, you know, you get to it and they start talking about it. It's pretty interesting.
Right. It sure is. And there's certainly a lot more going on than we understand. I mean, even the most skeptical person has to admit that there's a lot more than we can comprehend. So,
yeah.
So certainly true. Have you done any stories on the Federal Reserve, the monetary system, the people who are really running the world, you know, anything like that? I'm always fascinated by the Bilderberg Group, the Rothschild family, that kind of stuff.
We did an interview with Daniel Estulin, who's one of the most famous authors about the Bilderberg Group, and he covers it on a yearly basis. We had him on to talk about this past year's Bilderberg conference, since a lot of their aims, you know, it seems like the one of the big initiatives right now is towards cybernetics and the merging of, you know, the computer consciousness with human consciousness, and the way of, you know, basically synchronizing us through chips and whatnot, which is very, you know, obviously that's another big concern for people who are aware of the New World Order, is the question of human beings being chipped if we're not already. I mean, my friend who kind of jokes and says, you know, people worry about being chipped, they have the cell phone. That's as close, you know, that's as close as it gets. That's around, that's with you at all times, right? We don't have to chip you. We've got the cell phone. We got
right.
Your cell phone.
Yeah.
So, but the Bilderberg group is an interesting one. We've talked, you know, a lot of our episodes, our discussions, you know, reference the Federal Reserve System, the creation of money. I think Pi Ian was an interesting guy that we talked to recently about the coming collapse of the U.S. because of the debt issue, and how we've been basically putting off hyperinflation and because of the fact that the dollar itself is a global currency. But he's saying, you know, that it's just, you know, sooner or later it's going to catch up with us, and they keep kind of pushing that they lift the debt ceiling and in order to not have to default. But the money currency issue is a tremendous problem, and I'm always open to guests who would be willing to discuss this from an insider's point of view, because that's obviously a difficult thing to figure out quite, you know, is how, you know, what is the real agenda if the elite are as organized as we presume they are, you know, what is the agenda as the financial system, you know, will have to at some point collapse and readjust, because there's no, you can deal with this level of increasing inflation.
Right. I'll offer my opinion on that. I think that the first part of it is that the U.S. can keep kicking the can down the road for a lot longer than most people think. And we've got the reserve currency. Yes, that requires other countries to cooperate in that. And I think we can kind of throw our weight around. We can bully them into it, because we've got the biggest military. We've got the biggest economy. Admittedly, it's built on a house of cards, but it's still looks like the biggest economy, you know,
right.
But even though it's smoke and mirrors, but it's very ingenious the way the whole thing's been built. I think we can kick that can down the road for a long, long time. And I think we will just progressively have more and more inflation, and most people who aren't in the know will just be progressively getting poorer because of it. And that's a sad state of affairs, but I think it's just the way it is. The elite, or not even really what we call the elite, just the wealthy and the sophisticated, they'll know how to invest for inflation. They'll buy assets. They'll buy them with leverage. That debt will get debased by inflation. They'll actually become richer, certainly relative to their uninformed neighbors. But it's just an interesting state of affairs, you know?
It is.
And then ultimately, when we do have to pay the piper someday, which mathematically, Sean, we should have had to do a long time ago.
but if we were on the gold standard, for sure, it would not have lasted.
Of course. We kicked the can down the road, though, because of those things I mentioned. We've got the biggest brand, we've got the biggest military, we've got the biggest economy. But ultimately, what I think happens after that is a global fiat currency. And when that happens, and it is global, it's checkmate. People will have very little control over their own lives when that day comes, if it ever does come.
So I'm just curious, as your point of view, do you think that the Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare, is actually, do you think it's actually a divisive issue, or is it just being played as such for public consumption? Do you think that it's really creating division between Republican and Democrats in Washington, or is it just sort of like, is that a spectacle?
That's a very good way to put that question. I think that the spectacle in Washington, D.C., is like watching a wrestling match. Mm-hmm. It's fake. It's a show.
That's what Jesse Ventura said.
That's what G. Edward Griffin says too, and I couldn't agree with it more. I had him on the show a couple of times, and of course he wrote the book The Creature from Jekyll Island, which is kind of the seminal work on the Federal Reserve.
That's great.
And it is. It's a distraction. I agree. There's something to that. However, I also think at the same time it will be a disaster. I think there's real meat to the disaster that's coming our way in healthcare, but we've kind of got a disaster now, so I don't know. I can't say the system's broken as it is, and it's going to be, I think, more broken in the future.
But do you think there's something positive about it, or do you think it's as bad as the Republicans are saying?
I don't think that the way Obama has presented it is the way to fix it. I think there are some interim steps that could have helped a lot. I don't know. I'm not going to really comment on what the Republicans are saying, because I think both parties are a bunch of crooks, frankly. But
that's for sure.
I mean, look, Sean, we all know they're in the same club. They all go golfing together. They all go have drinks together at the bar. They're friends. They look like adversaries, but, you know, come on. I mean,
I'll tell you one thing that scares me was that, you know, this talk about this relationship between Hollywood and Washington, right? And you have, obviously, like Jack Valenti, right, who was Johnson's right-hand man. I think right. he was the chief of staff. But anyway, he was very close to Johnson. And the point is that he then took over as the head of the motion picture, the Academy of Motion Picture and Science.
Right, right. So he was in charge of the ratings, right?
What it was. Yeah, right. Was he a chief? Was he like a script writer for Johnson's speeches? But anyway, the point is he's very close to Johnson. He takes over, you know, at the Academy of Motion Picture. And then... And sure enough, Chris Dodd, who's like one of these typical crooks, right, from Congress, you know, backing Wall Street essentially. Now he's out here and doing the same and running the Academy Motion Picture. I'm like, what the heck? This is about as obvious and flagrant as it gets.
It's such a tangled web, and it really is obvious. But they just do it. You know, they feel like they're immune to criticism, immune to reproach. In many ways, they probably are, unfortunately. Yeah, they probably are. But yeah, what else? What do you have coming up on Buzzsaw?
David Icke, actually. We have an interview with him coming up this weekend, I believe. And then I think, you know, you'll see that, you know, we always try to surprise people with some interesting guests. Hopefully, you know, the network will expand. It's the time, that's for sure. You know, it's the time for people to fight back. I mean, we just see Buzzsaw as one amongst many potential catalysts against this New World Order machine. We believe the awakening begins on an individual level. So the more people we can reach and open their minds to actually discussing and having discussions in these terms, you know, changing the paradigm, changing the framework by which you can speak and think, then that's really where the battle is going to be won. If we, you know, we got to get people away from the idiot box that is TV.
Get them into the deeper discussion, definitely. What's your dad working on nowadays?
You know, he's got a few projects that he's been developing, but he may be doing something on Martin Luther King that was announced recently, but he's obviously got to, it's still early as far as, you know, who knows how it's going to evolve. Hopefully he'll get it going pretty soon.
Right, right. Fantastic. Well, Sean Stone, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Give out your website, if you would. Tell people where they can watch the show, or, you know, any other websites you have you want people to know about.
So the show airs on YouTube, but the website is The Lip. thelip.tv, and it's Buzzsaws on that site. And then, you know, the best way to reach me is through Facebook. I have a fan page, and people can send messages there or whatnot. Twitter on scstone5. Follow me and communicate with me directly, and that's the best way to reach me.
Fantastic. Sean Stone, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
What's great about the shows you'll find on jasonhartman.com is that if you want to learn about investing in and managing income properties for college students, there's a show for that. If you want to learn how to get noticed online and in social media, there's a show for that. If you want to know how to save on life's largest expense, there's a show for that. And if you'd like to know about America's crime of the century, there's even a show for that. Yep, there's a show for just about anything. Only from jasonhartman.com. Or type in Jason Hartman in the iTunes store.
Thank you for joining us today for the Holistic Survival Show, protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Be sure to listen to our Creating Wealth Show, which focuses on exploiting the financial and wealth creation opportunities in today's economy. Learn more at www.jasonhartman.com or search Jason Hartman on iTunes. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, offering very general guidelines and information. Opinions of guests are their own, and none of the content should be considered individual advice. If you require personalized advice, please consult an appropriate professional. Information deemed reliable, but not guaranteed.